This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
That is true. Catalytic converters are not exclusive to the Cadillac brand.
Yeah.
Who knew? But if you get a Cadillac converter and put it on a Prius, you get four more cylinders.
See, and that's crazy. And that's the thing that I don't think enough people appreciate is the knowledge that we disperse on this program.
It's something you disperse.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first.
Did you hear about this terrible crash in Franklin County last night?
Breaks my heart.
Eight people are dead. Eight people in a head-on collision on Highway 169 near Greeley, which is in Franklin County, very small town. My first job was in Franklin County, so I know that. The highway was closed until 3 o'clock this morning, and some of the victims are high school students out of Tulsa.
It's a youth basketball program of some sort, right?
I hadn't read that part.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible. And was it head-on or was this a T-bone?
It was head-on collision on 169 Highway.
Both vehicles caught fire. Eight people confirmed dead. Part of the group is connected to an amateur athletic union basketball team. We know two of those who died. One was like a coach and his son, and then a string of others. Absolutely terrible.
Booker T. Washington High School in Tulsa is what I was reading earlier today. Mike Tirico apparently had to step away from the broadcast booth at the Kentucky Derby over the weekend on Saturday due to a nut allergy, but says he's doing well now. Quoting here from Tirico, he appeared on the Today Show because he's co-anchoring it. I feel fine. I have my coffee. Watching the Today Show like I do every morning.
Did you see this live?
I left my EpiPen in the dressing room.
Okay. Did anyone see this live? Because fans online were very concerned because something just seemed off during the broadcast. And he's been one of the faces of the Kentucky Derby coverage for a long time.
It's like his fifth or sixth time
so
doing it.
Fans are, taking notice that like something isn't right. And pretty quickly, one of his colleagues, Ahmad Farid, jumped in to take his place. And then you didn't see Mike. And so people were like, oh my gosh, is he okay? Like, what is going on?
Was he going into anaphylaxis live on the air?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, Sam. It was a significant reaction to my nut allergy. He says, if you have one, you know how it can knock you down. Profound thanks to Churchill Downs for their care and to our amazing NBC Sports horse racing family.
Now, I've never been tested, but I recently stopped. I used to eat mixed nuts every single day, and I would feel weird. I never really connected it to the mixed nuts, but I recently stopped. My right ear in particular would start ringing, and then after I would eat the nuts, I would get a little tickle in the back of my throat, and it would just get to the point where getting more than eight words out in a continuous sentence was very difficult to do.
Someone posted, why are we pretending Mike Tirico is okay? Something is very wrong. Someone else wrote, you can tell he's sick. Something is wrong. He sounds horrible.
Well, I'm trying to find it.
I have not watched it.
Sam, can you see if we can find what he sounded like on Saturday? Are they suggesting it's something that peanut allergy?
Not at all. I think that's
reaction?
What it is. But people at the time didn't know. They were like, what is going on with him? And then all of a sudden he was gone.
So did he? So the Kentucky Derby, literally, the broadcast is like 8 hours long. It's ridiculous. And the actual race is a minute, 30 seconds. Does he start the race?
His duties include hosting all three events in horse racing's Triple Crown with the
Belmont Stakes,
first,
the Preakness, and the Kentucky Derby,
which took place on Saturday. I thought if you had a nut allergy, like in the movies, you just can't breathe and you start hyperventilating and you need an EpiPen to save your life. This more sounded like he was...
Well, so that's more on the extreme end. There are people that have, and I can't find the clip, such aggressive nut allergies that even a waft of the dust of whatever nut they're allergic to can send them into anaphylaxis immediately. If you're in the middle of that spectrum, you can sometimes eat nuts and not have a reaction. You can sometimes eat them and have a more aggressive reaction. And it sounds like he has an EpiPen, so he's probably pretty far onto that spectrum. And
He said it caused his throat and nose to just clog, to swell and then clog.
Yeah.
But here's what I don't understand. And here's where my BS meter is going off just a little bit. He said he left his EpiPen in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Anybody with a serious enough allergy that it would cause their throat to clog up and get in the way of them doing their job is not going to accidentally leave their EpiPen in a dressing room.
I don't know, Scott. I absolutely think this is what happened.
Okay.
He's had a pretty severe nut allergy his entire life.
Which is why you don't ever leave your EpiPen behind.
I know. It was pre-race snacking that exposed him to nuts and triggered a reaction.
Been in the same bowl that nuts had previously been in or something like that.
I think that's exactly what happened, Scott. I just didn't realize the reaction could look like that. He wasn't like slurring his words. I don't think it was anything other than...
Well, I'm not saying that.
No, I know. I don't think it was anything other than the nut allergy. I just didn't realize that could be part of the spectrum of the allergy.
Your throat starts to swell. And so that will get in the way of your vocal cords expanding and contracting, making words.
He said he took an EpiPen shot, got treated by EMTs, felt better around 8 or 9 o'clock, but it takes, quote, a long time to get it out of your system.
And man, it was a muddy mess all day.
Who won? I didn't even watch. I'm sorry I didn't. Did the journalist kit? Did the journalist guy win?
Journalism lost to sovereignty. That joke writes itself. I'll leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Journalism did not win. Sovereignty won.
We didn't watch. This was the weekend of all things graduation party. Did you not go to any graduation parties this weekend?
No. All the graduation parties that I've been invited to are on the 18th of May.
Oh, man. There's a ton of them this last weekend.
High school?
Yep. Get them in early and get them done.
No, like I've got three invites for May 18th.
Yeah.
We got three in one day.
We had Sam, we bounced from drop off the check, hug everybody, drop off the check, hug everybody, drop off the check, hug everybody.
What is the proper amount to write?
Okay. I've got a system.
My presence?
No.
Samuel. If you get invited to a graduation party, you have to bring money.
At least pay for your drink and the barbecue.
What if it is a loose acquaintance?
Then why are you invited?
Why are you there?
Okay.
That's right.
Whose party did you get invited to that's a loose acquaintance?
Oh, you know, like, I have a lot of cousins.
Someone told me the other day.
If I bring $50 to every graduation party for every one of my cousins.
You don't need that much.
No. Take out a mortgage.
$18.
What?
Hi.
No, Dan.
Bye.
Someone told me the other day that their relative wanted their bank to go back a while, Scott, to remind her what she had given other relatives so that heading into this graduation season, it was the exact same amount. Like the person couldn't remember if it was $100 or $500. Like you need to check so I do the exact same amount for everybody. I always go with if it's a very, very close friend, they've been to all four of my children's graduation parties. I usually do 100.
Okay.
Sometimes 75. But then, let me ask you this. A lot of these parties, they are lobbed together where like four graduates will hold one together. But mm-hmm. sometimes I only know...
Minimize the cost and get more profit.
No, mm-hmm. I only know one of the four. You're not expected to gift the three that you don't know that's on the same invite as the one you do know,
so
are you?
You bundled 1 year, didn't you?
I did bundle 1 year.
And I did not bring gifts for the other people.
Nor would I have expected you to do that. And I don't do that either.
I didn't even bring a gift and I went.
Well, that was okay.
Have to do,
we're aware and so are the kids.
You don't have to empty out the bank account to give these young people money. It's just a nice thing. That's why we give the number 18. Chai in Hebrew means life.
Oh, I love that.
Sometimes we'll do 18. Sometimes we'll do double chai, 18 times 2, and then we'll give that.
What's triple chai?
Well, times 18.
It'd be 52.
Is there a quadruple high? 54. That's what I want. Yeah. Sometimes, Dan, we will do $20.25 for the graduation year of 2025.
You know,
I didn't do that this
nice
year.
It's a nice thing to do, and then you go over and say, all right, look, kid, this is what life is like. And then you give them a little bit of advice, and then you know,
you're not one of those.
Of course I am.
Oh, my God, Dan, you ruined the party.
Oh, gosh, no.
Libby's daughter was one of the ones that graduated this weekend, Scott. And I wrote her 4 life advice bullet points in her card.
Oh, yeah.
But when Dan says a little bit of life advice, he means a 45-minute lecture.
No. No.
I mean, she's not always wrong, Sam.
Well, you know, life started way back.
I remember when I graduated in 1988. We didn't have these cell phones.
$18 and a lecture. Here you go, kid.
I mean, what more could you want?
If you look back at the Stone Age.
See, like, sweet Erin across the street, she's graduating from high school, and I was going to give her $100.
Yeah.
But I've known her. I've coached her.
Yeah.
The Meads and our family, we're very close.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give her like $100.
That's perfect.
And then there's a couple other kids that I've been invited. And I was thinking
$20, 25 cents.
No, I was thinking probably $50.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you don't write some life advice in the card. I was funny. I mean, it was basically don't get arrested and don't trip and fall on a cactus.
Okay, that's not life advice. That's comedy. There are no cacti here.
Unless they're in school in Arizona.
Yeah, she is going away to school.
Where is she going, Dana?
Somewhere where there's cacti.
No, there's not.
And I said, do not trip and fall and land on them because it will harm you in ways you don't even know.
Have you ever slipped onto a cacti?
I have.
Huh.
You will be injured for days.
And then you'll need this money to get yourself medical attention.
Avoid the rattlesnakes. They're very dangerous. Yeah. When I do life advice, it's funny and quick and they can read it. I don't like corner you like Dan does.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Run. Just keep the $18. Let me go, sir.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
We got all kinds of breaking news this afternoon. Let's start in Lexington, Sam. What do we know as far as the NTSB investigation goes with that explosion?
So this just came across the desk at KCTV 5 News. The NTSB has released their preliminary findings. You remember what happened. The Lexington Fire Department was called out.
Horrible.
There was a fiber line company in the area, and they had struck a gas line. It was blowing, which is an unabated flow of gas into the environment. And hours later, a father flipped a light switch in his home, and the home exploded, killing his child, injuring his other child and him. They found out that we had asked over and over and over again, why didn't they evacuate? We knew for hours that there was an unabated flow of gas into this neighborhood. We've seen story after story where this happens and they evacuate the entire neighborhood, multiple blocks around if necessary, depending on how long the leak goes. Turns out, according to the NTSB, they did evacuate one business. Nearby business.
The gas line was struck, by the way, at 4:14 p.m. The explosion happened at 7:42 that night. Hours had passed.
And right after they hit the line, the supervisor called 911, called 811. They both reported that they had hit the gas line. Liberty Utilities personnel was called out. The Lexington Fire Department was called out. They got there within 20 minutes. And again, evacuated that one business, but for whatever reason, and we don't know why, and they, you know, these are just the preliminary findings, so they haven't gone into full detail. They did not evacuate the rest of those
homes. Have you looked at the aerials there, Sam? Because it looks like there is one small business on the corner. See the three garages?
Yep.
Maybe like an auto repair business or something. The home that was completely, there's nothing left. Leveled, gone.
It was destroyed.
Is one door over from the only business that I see here. So why evacuate that business and not the home that is adjacent?
And who is responsible for the evacuations? Is it the police department? Is it the gas company?
Well,
is it the company that hit the gas line?
Listen to this next sentence. The NTSB's investigation is ongoing, and future investigative activity will focus on Liberty Utilities' responses to 811 requests, leak and repair history, emergency response, isolation procedures, record keeping, pipeline safety management, operator qualifications, and, quote, public awareness programs with local emergency response and evacuation procedures.
Why do we need to relearn all this? Shouldn't this have already been learned?
Yes. There's going to be blame every which way but loose on this.
Right.
Based on your question, or from your question, Scott, based on the verbiage in the story, Lexington Fire arrived on scene 20 minutes later, and then the story says emergency crews evacuated one business. So that tells me the fire department said, hey, you guys need to get out of here. We have a massive gas leak right outside.
Why would you tell the business and not the home next door?
Or every home on the block.
Because the home one door down from the home that is just gone, it looks like about two-thirds of that house is gone. The home past that looks about like one-third of that home is damaged. You see that one there, Scott? That's mm-hmm. that's the home where no one died. This is where the little boy died. That explosion was so strong. Was it 20 houses were damaged?
I don't remember the number being that high, but...
I think it was 20 houses had some form of damage. That could be a blown out window.
Okay. All right.
By the way, it was 5-year-old Alistair who died.
God, it's
and the daughter
so
said that
sad.
Daddy flipped the light switch and...
That's all it took.
Mm-hmm.
So was it just there wasn't enough time?
It was 4 hours.
I understand. What I'm saying is, when did the fire department show up to evacuate that one business?
20 minutes after they called 911. Yeah.
Okay, so they had plenty of time to evacuate
the
entire
neighborhood. I'll tell you this, Scott. That timeline is well established because all of those emergency contact calls and decisions, there's a log of all of that stuff.
So why is the fire department not going door to door saying, you've got to get out?
It's a fair question. My guess is the finger pointing is going to go all the way around a circle where the fire department is going to say, we thought police were doing it. The police were going to say, we thought it was fire. The utility company is going to say, well, wait, we thought it was the gas line guy. Everyone is going to go this.
I understand, but Lexington is not a large town. And so it wouldn't take long to figure out who's got this, who doesn't. It's a town of 4,700 people. That's a tiny town.
It shouldn't matter.
What I'm saying is the community. It's not like a Kansas City, Missouri, where you could almost, you know, it wouldn't be acceptable, but you can almost understand where the lines of communication.
There's
get
so
blurred.
Many cooks in the kitchen.
Right, right. Here I guarantee you, the fire chief and the police chief are probably golf buddies. Are we? What are you guys doing? What are we doing? Are you evacuating? No, I thought you guys were. We're not. It's your job.
So I don't have exact addresses here, but there is a company listed in the updated NTSB report for where they were running the fiber line to. That company happens to sit on the north side of 50 Highway. The nearest homes are on the south side of 50 Highway. So maybe they thought this subdivision is far enough away. Maybe they thought there's no way that the gas is going to travel that far.
Well, clearly not.
Obviously it did.
Because Dad hits a light switch and the house is gone.
But yeah, the nearest homes, it's a very small 2-block subdivision on the south side of the highway. I mean, I can't tell the distance.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to kmbz.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Pain, yellow sun. I actually understand the lyrics to this Pearl Jam song.
Barely. Quick correction. I looked up the company and it pulled up their original location. That was in Warrensburg. There are homes much closer to where this gas leak went on.
There was no distance. I'm looking at the aerial, Sam, and it looks like it's the business on the corner.
I had said 50 Highway, and I looked at it, and I was like, well, wait a minute. Actually, this is Warrensburg. What is going on? And then I realized they're opening a second location.
Let's go to Bruce in Raytown. Bruce, good afternoon. Hello.
Well, they put that horrible smell in gas so that people can smell it. And that man that flipped that switch had to smell that gas. And if he knew anything about it, he should have just left his house. Should have just gone on out and not done anything.
But Bruce, we had a neighbor call in last week who lives on that block, and her home was damaged, severely damaged. And she said she had been in her house all day and did not know what was going on outside. She hadn't stepped out front, so she didn't see the commotion. She didn't smell anything inside the house. She said she didn't know anything was amiss until she heard the boom.
Okay, some houses have a furnace system and an air conditioning system that brings outside air in. And that's probably a house that did it, and it brought all that gas fumes right in.
Yeah, I cannot blame any of the homeowners here because clearly something broke down in the communication chain. We've asked other contractors, like, what happens when you hit a gas line? And they go, since the JJ's explosion, you evacuate everybody. Period, every time.
When you have natural gas in your home, what does it smell like rotten eggs? I've never smelled it.
Yes, you have.
Have I?
Oh, yeah. It definitely is an odor when it's in your house. But I don't blame anybody.
Because if I smelled
homes.
Wouldn't I get out of the house?
The smell is, yes, rotten eggs or sulfur. They put a sulfur smell into it. Okay. But, you know, what's the first thing you do when you get home?
Turn on the light.
You unlock the door. You open the door.
Yep.
You flip on the light.
And if they had gone in through the garage, Scott, which I'm sure they did, you're not smelling the outdoor air. You go in through the garage. You walk in. You flip on the light. Boom. So I don't blame any of those homeowners.
913-586-7798. Jim in Topeka. Jim, hello.
Hello there. There are several different versions of gas line break and the damages that can happen from it. The high pressure transmission line, you'll hear that thing whistle and it will put out a tremendous amount and you will smell it and you will run. The other one, when you're dealing with service lines that deal with a pressure of 4 ounces of pressure for servicing homes, those things have such a slow leak rate that unless you're standing on top of it, you nearly can't smell it. So there's some several different things that happen. And then there's another thing that can happen, too, is just because you dig the hole and break the gas line in one place, if you've pulled the gas line a little bit, you could have broke that thing 100 yards away from where that you're digging the hole. So there is much more to this than just they didn't evacuate, they didn't do that. So there's a lot of other details that have to go with this. And finding some of those homeowner service line leaks, because that gas will follow the line in the ground, especially if you got some water on top of the ground, it will follow that line to its weakest point out. And that weakest point out is a hole through the foundation. And that will fill the basement. And then when it gets to the point that it does the rest of it and you flip the light, it has already got to bomb level before you get there. So there's many more dangers to this than we recognize or that we talk about.
Jim, appreciate the call. Thank you for it, man. 913-586-7798. Story here from the Associated Press. Millions of dimes spilled onto a Texas highway late last week after a tractor trailer hauling $800,000 in dimes rolled over. The spillage led to the closure of a portion of the southbound lanes of US 287 in Alvord for about half a day as workers got on their hands and knees to pick up the coins, in addition to using brooms and shovels and large industrial vacuums.
How many dimes is that?
In about an hour, they had 80 cents. They're still rolling.
I don't know. How many dimes is it?
Oh, God. A lot.
It was $800,000, so times 10.
You would not be able to scoop up enough. They are so heavy. We've talked about this.
So that would be 8 million dimes.
To make any sort of getaway with that. Hey, you want to go with me and pick up 8 million dimes? No. Do you have a U-Haul?
Well, you remember the story we had a couple of months ago, or actually at this point, maybe a couple of years ago. I don't know. It all runs together. Where
story of our lives.
There was a semi that was parked outside of a hotel and folks broke into the back of it and stole a bunch of dimes. Just loaded down their vehicle with dimes and took off.
Odd.
Okay.
What do you do with that? Go to the Coinstar?
Yes. And it will take you
$800,000
a long time.
Dimes transferred to cash.
From the New York Post, a former housing official, follow me here on this one, gang, because we're talking about a lot of money. A former housing official who worked under President George H.W. Bush, so Bush won,
okay,
has made an astonishing claim that the U.S. government spent years funneling money into the creation of a secret underground city where the rich and the powerful can shelter in the event of a near-extinction event. Catherine Fitz, who served as the Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development between 1989 and 1990, made the shocking allegations during an appearance on somebody's podcast, although there is no concrete evidence to support her claim. Fitz, who is 74, originally from Philadelphia, cited research by Michigan State University economist Mark Skidmore, who released a report in 2017 stating that he and a team of scholars had uncovered $21 trillion in unauthorized spending in the departments of housing and urban development in the years from 1998 to 2015.
Just went missing. Allegedly.
$21 trillion. Huh.
To hide them, like what if there was an alien attack or...
Well, kind of like in, what was the movie? Dang it. What's his fate?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Shut up. It's the world starts to freeze over and they've got to get on these ships.
I mean, there's tons of shows about this. There's tons of sci-fi movies about this. The end of the world has been predicted over and over and over again. I mean, you remember it was supposed to end in 2012.
Would it really be helpful if it was the end of times that we hid a handful of people in Washington? Because I don't think it would be. I think at that point, the survivalists rise up. You know, if you've never read The Road, I can't recommend it because it's horrifying. But that's what would happen. People, you would have to be so good, Scott, at hunting, fishing, generator things, all the things Dana does not know how to do.
Well, first you'd have to survive the radiation.
Right.
But there's this show called The 100. Great watch. Pretty cheesy. If you can get past the cheesiness, it's a great watch. Where the whole idea is they have been living in low orbit on effectively an international space station, but it's massive. It's called the Ark. And after 100 years, they send people back down to Earth to see if the radiation has gone. And they find all these bunkers and they open them up and there's a bunch of supplies in there. And guess what? All the people are dead.
See, Dana couldn't last 48 hours. I could go with what I had, and I'm not a prepper. I could last toilet paper, water, and food. I'm not
toilet
kidding.
Paper.
I do. I have. I could last 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe.
I just re-upped on my 72-pack.
I could probably last 3 weeks. And then I'd have to take my gun and go find a deer. Because I'd be out of food. Do you have any food saved?
I could hit K10 in my car, find a deer, strike it, and then drag it home.
Ooh. Would you know
but
how
if
to
the apocalypse
it?
Hits, how no. are you going to charge
Could you
your
skin
car?
It?
That's a great question, Sam. I'd be dead in 48 hours.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Let's grab a couple real quick. Carrie in Lee's Summit. Carrie, hello.
Hey, guys. So I know Dana likes Run, Do Not Walk.
Yes.
And I've got one that deals with what Parks was just talking about, where the city was being built underground and the government was funding it. It deals with exactly the same thing, where the government is funding the city. It's a mystery. And the president was shot and killed. And it's got one of the guys from This Is Us in it. And it's really, really good. So if you guys have Hulu, I would definitely check it out because it definitely deals with what Parks was talking about.
You've given us everything but the title.
The Paradise.
Paradise.
It doesn't sound like a paradise to me, Carrie.
They talk about getting engineers and building up everything, so it's pretty interesting.
Huh. Okay. All right, Curry, thank you for the recommendation. Jim in Bonner. Hello, Jim.
The movie that you were trying to think of is 2012 with
That's
John
right.
Cusack.
That's
they load
right.
people onto the arts in Tibet. And I had a different perspective on the book The Road for Dana. And it's a dark movie and it's a dark book.
Okay.
But it's really a love story about everything a father will do to keep their child alive in difficult circumstances.
Yep. Is it Life is Beautiful? Because I can't watch it again. It's shattering.
Oh, no, it's a terrible movie. I mean, it's absolutely dark. But, you know, at the end, Dad wins. He keeps the kid alive.
So that is true.
That's what he was trying to do.
That is true. Jim, you didn't even have to tell me the title. I knew what he was talking about before he told me.
A story here from Lexington, Kentucky. A Kentucky mom was in for a surprise when she found 70,000 dum-dum suckers on her doorstep that her young son had ordered in secret. Holly LeFevers from Lexington shared on Facebook that her son Liam, who is in second grade, ordered 30 cases of dum-dum suckers from Amazon while he was playing on her phone this past weekend. The cases, each with 2,340 suckers inside, retail for $130 each. The final cost to mom is $4,200.
Sam, the boxes of dum-dums are taller than the door frame going into their very nice home.
I mean, everybody needs 70,000 dum-dums.
That's a lot of riddles on there.
LeFevre says that Amazon only allowed her to return 8 of the 30 boxes, leaving her with 22.
No!
She took to Facebook asking locals to buy the boxes from her so that she is not stuck with tens of thousands of suckers.
You know how this happens. You give the kid the phone to watch some YouTube kids or play some game, and they know how to manipulate
it. She says the driver never knocked or rang the doorbell. So she didn't know the delivery was coming. So you couldn't say, I reject the delivery.
That's exactly why he didn't ring the doorbell.
And now Amazon won't take them back.
We've heard about it with the DoorDash ordering like 78 Big Macs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Amazon shouldn't be out the cost to restock all those. I mean, I'll give them that. But I do think they should maybe take them back. But maybe because it's food, they can't.
Because I know you care so much, here's an update on the Buc-ee's store location in Wyandotte County.
Please. Yeah.
Construction is set to start within the next month, Dana, on the first Buc-ee's convenience store and gas station in the state of Kansas.
Mm-hmm. I'm not buying merch. I'm not doing it. Don't
it
even
is
ask.
Scheduled to commence on or before June 29th, construction. The project is expected to take 2 years, at which point I will never have to wonder where to go to get you a birthday gift.
Mm-hmm.
Late last year, county commissioners also passed a resolution authorizing the execution of a property exchange agreement with Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's will be located at 601 Village West Parkway, right next to the Speedway.
Got it.
Okay. 120 gas pumps, 12 electric vehicle charging stations, Dana. Expected to employ about 200 people with an average starting pay of $18 to $21 an hour.
Okay.
The project comes with a $95 million price tag, most of which will be privately funded.
Huh. You can't argue with that.
What's not to like about Buc-ee's?
You mean privately funded by Buc-ee's? They're building a gas station. What?
And apparently the NFL draft in 2027, so in 2 years, will be in Washington, D.C. The announcement coming from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, as the Commanders have announced plans for a new stadium inside the city or inside the District of Columbia. Detroit saw 750,000 people attend the 3-day event in 2024. That set an attendance record. Last month, Green Bay averaged about 600,000 football fans.
Do you remember how many we had?
I think it was 300,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I remember I saw the aerial view of the Green Bay draft, and I thought to myself, man, that really dwarfs the size of the crowd that we had.
No.
Yes.
No. Our crowd was Kansas City specific sized.
It was perfect. I know. I agree.
We could not have fit one more person down there. I was down there.
Kansas City's bigger than Green Bay.
Yeah, but they're crazy. That town is crazy.
They are crazy about their football.
I mean, I love them, but they're nuts.
Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum. She's Dana Wright. That good-looking guy over there is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.